All right, this is the National Finance Committee meeting for September 16, 2005. This is Dave Adelson speaking. I'm the chair. Casey McFall, our regular secretary, is not present. Jane Gatewood, WPFW's treasurer, has volunteered to take minutes until Casey is available. And Jane, do you know the members, or shall I call the roll?
Are there 11 of us?
There are 11 total, yeah.
Okay. Baroudi?
Present.
Casey? Dave?
Adel, you should give the last name,
Dave
too,
Adelson?
I think. Present.
Baroudi, what's your last name?
Hello?
Baroudi, what's your last name?
Bediako.
Bediako, okay.
B-E-D-I-A-K-O.
Okay. Jane Gatewood, present. LaVarne Williams, is it?
Present.
Lonnie Hicks?
Here.
Mark Roberts?
Here.
Marnie Tattersall?
Here.
Patty Tapley?
Here.
Sandy... I don't know Sandy's last name.
Weinman.
Sandy Weinman? Teresa Allen? Okay. We have 8 present. I think that's a quorum.
Great. Okay. Now, I sent around a proposed agenda, but before I deal with the proposed agenda, we've had a request from a PMB member to join the conversation, to join this meeting as a guest. And I take a guest to mean present on the call and able to ask an occasional question, but not really to be active, obviously, in the ongoing conversation. That's Steve Pierce. He's an affiliates director who had some questions in the budget about funding for affiliates program. Robert says that unless otherwise specified, as for example we've specified for the executive search committee, other members of a board don't attend meetings or aren't any different than anybody else unless the committee votes to let them participate as a guest. So would anybody be willing to make the motion to let Steve participate as a guest?
Well, I'd like to separate that because what we've done on this in this finance committee before, people can listen, but they don't participate. They're not members of the committee.
Teresa? Yes.
Okay, so you'd like to separate being on the call from being able to ask questions?
Sure, and I think
okay, so let's take those separately. Can we have a motion to allow Steve to be present on the call first?
This is Patty.
Go ahead.
I think that's pointless. He can just get off and listen.
Folks, let's just have a motion. There is going to be a portion of this in executive session. We can discuss it after we have the motion. Could we have the motion?
I make a motion to allow Steve Pierce to be on the phone call and to ask questions.
I second that.
Okay, Mark divides. Discussion.
Patty, can I say something?
Hang on. Is there discussion on Steve participating as a guest first? Not the asking question part. For being on the call.
I have some discussion on that.
Go ahead, Lonnie.
I don't think it's a good precedent, and here's why. There are many, many groups around Pacifica that would like to directly participate as a guest or as a discussant in finance committee calls. This is the time for the finance committee to really ruminate over very serious issues. I don't think it's proper or wise to have, we could have 30 guests, all of whom could come and ask questions and try to directly influence the decisions of this committee. It's a bad precedent. It's not usually done. And also, there was no notice on this, so this puts this committee in the spot of having to say no to a director or at least having a big discussion about it. So I'm asking the chair not to do this in the future because it places the onus on this committee and the time to deal with. Now, another person calls up and says, well, I want to be a guest, too. We have no policy on it. We have no precedent. I speak against on those grounds.
Okay. Who else?
Mr. Chair, can I get on the stack?
This is Patty.
Patty, Mark, and who else did I hear?
Teresa.
Patty, Mark, Teresa.
Steve,
and I'd like to request that people keep their comments to under 90 seconds.
Yes.
We've got a lot to do today.
To get my name, Dave. This is LaVarne.
LaVarne. Okay, go ahead, Patty.
Steve Pierce is a member of our board. He's a new member of our board this year. He's new to the foundation. He's interested. There's no point dividing the questions because he could just hang up and listen on the stream if that was the case. So I'm against stopping this. I think the chair can control a guest member. If they get out of line or take up too much time, you can quell them. That's all.
Just to clarify, part of this discussion will take place in executive session, those parts dealing with confidential matters related to staffing. And the reason for voting for his participation on the call as a guest would be that that would allow him to be present for those discussions as well. Next I have Mark.
Okay, first of all, we don't
go ahead, Mark.
We don't have the power. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right, I sound like Patty from LK. I'm sorry, Patty, but we don't have the power to circumvent or circumcede the bylaws. The bylaws says the National Finance Committee is made up of 11 individuals. Everyone is free to listen. We stream our calls, and I love Steve to death, but I think that it's not the precedent we need to establish where board members can drop in on whatever committees they choose, whether they're members or not, and weigh in on the matters before them. That's just not the way our bylaws are set up. And you, as the chair, cannot have the authority to decide, forget the bylaws, that the National Finance Committee is 11 members. Today it's going to be 11, and then we're going to also hear from a 12th or 13th. To me, that's the end of the National Finance Committee as a determined, probably the most determined group in the bylaws. So while I would love to hear and I understand the concerns, you got to send your email to the PMB and let the members on the PMB or the treasurer from your area, in this case he doesn't have one, weigh in on the matter. But you cannot you can't do that.
Just to clarify, from a parliamentary point of view, it is not the chair but the committee that can vote to allow anyone to be as a guest, and our bylaws specify that Robert's rules hold.
I would tell the chair that if we haven't sent out a notice to all the PMB members telling them whenever we meet as a National Finance Committee, you can call in and weigh in on the matter, then I don't think that we can now decide that the member who suggested that can do it.
Okay, and next I have Teresa.
I would just ask Mark and Lonnie to maybe not be so intractable. I was on the executive
search. I'm not intractable.
Well, let me finish. Having him on the committee doesn't mean that he's voting. I mean, and I was on the executive search meeting yesterday, and I tried to control myself. I don't think I really took up too much of your time, but I thought that maybe I had a pertinent question, and it was very... I think it was very generous of the committee to let me sit in on it. So your statement about, oh, well, we're changing the constitution of the committee, I don't think that's true.
May I respond?
Wait a minute. Let me also say something like, I don't know why he wants to come on the call. Maybe it's because of affiliates, and that might be useful to consider the possibility that because of technology and his interest in that or affiliates, that it would be good for him on the committee. I mean to at least be able to ask a question if it was appropriate.
Okay.
So
I have LaVarne next.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
Great. This is LaVarne Williams. You know, as a strong advocate of directors' rights, I certainly support allowing a P&B director to sit in on a finance committee meeting to discuss the coming year budget. The idea not to have that, even in line with Robert's rules or P&B, which that is not a correct statement, as Dave has pointed out, that's preposterous. And as far as allowing, since this would be a P&B issue, in this case, Lonnie, who is opposed to this, I think shouldn't even have a vote on this since he's not a P&B director. And just the idea that we're at this point in the budget for 06, and we're going into the P&B meeting next weekend, and we need the directors to understand the budget, and the directors who do have the time and opportunity to sit in on this and ask. We should be delighted. We should be actually happy, because at that point, that would be an advocate for us to get this budget passed. And to deny him this opportunity at this time, it's just preposterous. It's just totally surprising. Well, it's not really surprising, because this is sort of in line with all the people that are against directors' rights have, you know, advocated some way off position that is not consistent with people who are volunteering their time to understand the Pacifica position and to understand and to contribute.
We're not calling. No one's calling.
Thank you.
Okay.
Dave, can I get on the stack again, please?
I would, too.
Go ahead. You have 90 seconds each, and then let's go to a vote. Mark, Lonnie.
Okay, one thing that you have to keep in mind, and forgetting all this stuff, I'm going to ignore some of these comments, but the reality of it is the PNB made a specific motion allowing any board member to come and to listen to executive search committee meetings. If it was open, we wouldn't have had to have a motion, which Dave presented, in fact, allowing and saying that any board member could come to that particular meeting to listen. And I would say that, yes, we can have any board member come and listen, but to participate, that's a different matter. Otherwise, why have I been here all these months, or why has this one been here? We have a committee for a reason, and I think it dilutes the power of the body, dilutes the power of the treasurers, and I say, listen, yes. Contribute in terms of asking questions and influence? No. Save that for Houston.
What
I'm done.
Biggest loud mouth.
Lonnie.
Yeah, I think that name calling on in connection with this stuff does no one any good. And I resent that. And Mr. Chair, I expect you to keep order in these meetings and not to let it go on. I'd like the commitment from the chair, first of all, that you keep order and not allow name calling, number one. Not call time on some members, but not on others. Do I have that commitment?
Sure.
Thank you. Now, on the issue, what I heard, just want to be clear about what I did here, is I heard that the guests would be allowed to participate in the executive session as well. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Well,
the point has been pointed out that on the first point.
Yeah, so what I thought I heard was I'd be able to participate in both. That doubles my strong opposition. It certainly is precedent. Now, what I feel is appropriate to do is, since Dave claims there's no policy on it and people aren't clear about it, is ask the PNB to pass a motion allowing it for all committees. We have an unspoken policy, at least I do, that all members be able to get the same information at the same time where possible. So if this is a precedent, Finance Committee meets again on Sunday, then maybe what the Finance Committee needs to do is ask the PNB for a policy in this area. Apparently it's been done for the Executive Search Committee. Now, I'll finish by saying this. What should I do? I strongly protest this.
Time's up already.
Well, it wasn't called on the previous speaker, was it? I timed it. It was not called. It was not 90 seconds.
No, I'm sorry, but I did want to let you know it was 90 seconds.
Well, anyway, so what to do? I'm in a dilemma. I'll have to strongly protest, and I won't participate in that part of the session because I don't believe it to be appropriate.
Okay, just to clarify again, our bylaws specify that Robert's Rules holds. I looked this up in Robert's Rules, and Robert's Rules said that a guest may participate. I also note that this committee, without objection, has allowed a guest at every one of our recent meetings. That guest has been the executive director. We allowed that guest without any vote of the committee. He is not specified as a member of this committee in the bylaws. And so I just want to point out that we do have a standing precedent of having had guests present on these calls for obvious reasons of their importance, of their input. Who's
Mr. Chair, could I call the question?
I don't think so. Marnie, go ahead.
I haven't minded too much else of what's been said. I agree that you do need to keep order. Name calling is totally inappropriate. But more than that, before we had Ambrose on these calls, we had Dan on these calls, and that's a totally different ballgame, and I don't think it's appropriate or right or respectful or anything else to equate the executive director of this foundation with a member. I really think that's over the top. That's it for me.
Mr. Chair, can you put your word that you just said on the record? We can also cite the Roberts Rules passage and include, you know, the exact passage that you're citing to back up your feeling on this, please.
I don't have the exact citation.
All right, but once,
I will look at
it.
I'm right now looking on the looking on the web for that.
Well, I moved the table.
Okay. Let's move straight to vote on the motion to table. Will you call the roll, Jane, on the motion to table?
Sure. One moment.
Is that table indefinitely, Lonnie, or table at a specific time? Table indefinitely.
Yes. Okay. I think so. I think that D&B needs to rule on this.
Okay.
And I'm urging the chair and the committee to seek that ruling.
Excuse me. There's no debate on tabling.
Right. I know.
Well, then, why are people making comments?
I'm explaining
well,
the tenor of my emotion.
Call it. There was a question asked. I don't think it should be hostile. Bediako?
No.
No?
No, no.
McFaul? Dave? Dave, what's your last name?
Adelson.
Adelson.
No.
No. Gatewood? No. Williams?
No.
Hicks?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes, I want a P&B ruling.
Tattersall?
Yes.
Heffley?
No.
Allen?
No.
One, two, three, four, five, six no's, three yeses. The motion failed.
Okay, then let's move to a vote. This is the questions. Actually, we didn't vote to divide, but I would urge us to divide this question. So, do people? Can we divide it without objection, or do we need to vote to divide? Is there any objection to dividing? Okay, hearing none, then we'll take the question, the two pieces separately. The first item is voting to allow Steve Pierce to participate as a guest in the call, including the executive session portion, but not to have any voice in the call, or without specifying voice.
Because that was not my motion. My motion was to divide the question between being a guest and participating. Executive session.
And being a guest.
Yeah. No, being a guest has to be clarified. With participation in all phases of the committee's work, including executive session,
okay.
Of being a guest that is not able to ask questions or participate verbally.
Okay. The first part is just being a guest. The second part will deal with participation.
Can we see, Mr. Chair, if we can pass that without objection to being a guest?
Any objection to Steve being a guest on the call? Hearing none, that's approved. Now the next item is participation. The participation would obviously not be as a voting member. It would be simply to be able to participate in the discussion.
I'd like a roll call.
Okay. Go ahead. Will you call the roll, Jane?
Bediako?
Yes.
Adelson?
Yes.
Gatewood pass? Williams?
Yes.
Hicks?
No.
Roberts?
No.
Tattersall?
Abstain.
Heffley?
Yes.
Allen?
Yes, and Mr. Chair, I'm going to be off the call for the next 20 minutes.
Okay.
Okay,
thank
we
you.
Have one, two, three, four, five yeses, two noes, two abstains. The motion carries.
Okay. So the next thing is the approval of the agenda. I sent around a proposed agenda, and that is, hold on a second.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Go ahead. Why don't, Jane, you read it, and then we'll go to Lonnie's question.
Okay. From this point, it continues with approval of minutes, review of national office budget, 1 hour. That would include affiliates program, web development, programming, including Spanish language, staffing. Some portions of this will be continued in executive session. The next item, also allocated for 1 hour, is remaining station budgets, KPFK, KPFA, and WBAI, then followed by PRA budget, 30 minutes, before adjourning to executive session, scheduled for 1 hour.
Dave Adelson.
The executive session is to consider personnel issues.
Okay, Lonnie?
Yeah, I have a concern around how the agendas are done. And I want to express that so as to avoid what we just went through. And I think that can be avoided with proceduralizing how agenda's done. I don't like surprises at the last minute with agenda items. Most organizations don't do that to their members. And I hardly object to it. Now, my proposal is that no agenda item should be added without a week's notice so that members can express their opinion about these items and not have to sit in a meeting and on the air go through what we just did. It wastes the time. I think that agenda items have to be approved by majority vote. If we're going to spend our time on these items, everyone ought to, on some basis, the chair ought to send out an agenda at least a week before the meeting, have each one of the items approved and voted upon so that people will know, be ready and prepared, and not have these contentious calls because an agenda item wasn't done properly. So my motion is very simple, that all agenda items have to be presented to this committee at least 1 week prior to their approval, proposed approval, and that agenda items be voted upon by members via email.
Well,
that
I'd like to add this new business at the end of the call because it's this item that we're on now is the approval of this agenda.
We so put an item before the agenda, and it used up our time.
Okay.
And
so,
I'm asking that this motion be considered.
Yeah, I'm going to, if you would like to appeal the ruling of the chair, you can, but I'm going to place this, since it's not germane to this meeting, at the end of the agenda. The item we just dealt with was germane to this meeting, and we had this director on the call. My apologies, we probably should have approved the agenda with that item first, but given the majority support for it, I suspect that would have happened. We have the approval of the
Mr. Chair, I'd like to get on
the table. So, Mark, go ahead.
I want to appeal the ruling of the chair.
Okay, we've got an appeal of the ruling of the chair.
Before that's appealed, can you tell me where exactly you're proposing to put that?
After the PRA budget as new business, prior to adjournment to executive session.
And we have a motion on the floor.
The motion on the floor is the approval of this agenda.
I'd like to speak to the motion.
Go ahead, Mark.
I wanted to get through this and everything, but I am concerned. I'm looking at this agenda, which was presented to me at 3 o'clock a.m. today, this morning. I do think that given the fact that we have to approve this budget within, you know, less than a week, I do have concerns about that. I do have concerns about avenues to adjusting or influencing the budget and then not having an opportunity to reflect on it. So I am a little concerned about that. And I do think that in some ways it's disrespectful to management, and I'm concerned about that. But so I agree with the motion that we should make a ruling in the future that when we do budgets, I mean, we do agendas, there's a time and then that's it. But the other thing I would like to add is an item under 6 for minority report consideration, because I do have some concerns, as you know, about the way we have conducted ourselves this year, and I want to bring that before the PMB.
When you say minority reports, you want a sixth item on this agenda? Because I was thinking, just so you know, I mean, that we can propose that as an amendment. I was thinking our Sunday meeting would address what was going to be presented and how.
Okay, I'll take it off then, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay.
So I just want to support the motion that we should have a rule that says agendas have to be presented by a certain time and that there are no alterations, so we don't have same day agendas.
I think that the question on the table right now, if I understand it correctly, is Lonnie's motion to overrule
right. To appeal the ruling of the chair.
I understood that you ruled that that would be filed under new business,
right.
And that Lonnie appealed that ruling.
Right.
So do we vote on that?
Yes, we do. So this is so if you vote, now I never know how this goes. Does anybody recall whether a yes vote is a vote to uphold the chair or to overturn the chair?
A yes vote is to... Well, a yes vote is to uphold the challenge to the chair.
Okay. So if you vote yes, you're voting to overturn the ruling of the chair. So can you call the roll, Jane? And
I'm sorry, Dave. I lost track for a moment. What was the ruling of the chair that they're trying to overturn? I'm sorry.
I said that the motion.
I'll repeat it if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Lonnie requested that we vote on a matter of making a motion about budgets being prepared and disseminated to committee members. Did you say a week in advance, Lonnie?
Agendas, Jane, not budgets.
Excuse me. Did you say agendas a week in advance, Lonnie?
Yes, we all have a week to look over these items.
And Dave's ruling was that was new business, and so he ruled that would be added to the agenda under new business, and Lonnie has appealed that ruling.
Yeah, can I speak to it? Now that it's been read.
Go ahead.
Well, if we put it at the end of the agenda, we'll never get to it. And that's what happens on these committees. We spend too much time, and in the end, we never finish the agenda. That's why I wanted it up top, because it is crucial to doing the business of this committee. It's not incidental and it's not out of pike. I think that we've done this too many times with last-minute agenda items that aren't clear. No one's talked about them, and no one's even voted on it, other than you have to say, you have to try to put a stop to it if you think it's a bad item. So I think that essential to doing this business, we need to be clear on what our policy is around agendas, because that's our work plan for a meeting. So that's why I object to having it at the end. We will not get to it.
Call the question on the overrule.
Yeah. So if you're voting yes, you're voting to overturn the chair. Can we call the roll, Jane?
And not put it at the end of the agenda.
Yeah. Okay, so chair, is there another spot you can suggest other than at the end?
You know, I don't mind after we've approved this agenda if people want to put it somewhere else. Actually, to be quite honest, the chair doesn't have the power to put it anywhere in the agenda. What I was doing was saying it's not in, that motion wasn't in order at that time because we were considering the approval of the agenda.
Would this group consider putting it after the approval of the minutes?
Does anybody have an objection to doing it after approval of minutes?
This is Patty.
Go ahead.
It's new business. So, you know, we're all for protocol around here now. We want the agendas done a week in advance, even if the budgets and the monthlies don't come on time. I'm for let's be protocol. I say it's new business. It goes at after 5.
Well, look at all the other new business, Patty, that we're entertaining tonight.
Yeah, that's true. I think it is. I mean, it's definitely new business, but it's relevant to agendas. I just don't think it's relevant to the approval of this agenda. And that is one reason for saying
I don't think it could be relevant to this agenda, but I am suggesting that we adopt, up high up in the meeting so it doesn't get lost or not done, some simple rules around how we conduct business.
The way to deal with this, then, if you'll withdraw the objection to my ruling that it's out of order for the approval of agenda, is to propose it as an amendment to the agenda where you would like it, and we'll vote on that.
I second that, Mr. Chair. Good decision.
I like that.
Okay, so make your proposal, and we'll vote on that amendment.
Well, what I'm understanding we're doing is amending the agenda approval as a part of the approval process for the agenda.
The approval is always open to amendment. It's a proposed agenda, and you're asking to add an item somewhere in the agenda. So if you want to withdraw the objection to the chair's ruling, I will specify that the chair's ruling was that it wasn't in order at that time, and now you can put it on the agenda where you want it.
Oh, I withdraw the objection.
Okay. So where were you proposing it be?
Well, we're at approval of the agenda, as I understand it, and next item is scheduling of next meeting. I think that after the scheduling...
Wait. I don't think you're on the right agenda. We are not scheduling the next meeting. We've already scheduled that. The next item is approval of minutes.
Okay. Maybe I'm looking at... that right. I'm looking at the 9/11 one. The one sent out...
I can read it to you if you want.
No, look at 9/16, Lonnie. 9/16.
Okay, I'm looking at that right now. There you go. I've got roll call, approval of the agenda, approval of minutes. So I think that after approval of the minutes would be appropriate for me. It won't take long.
There won't be any minutes, I don't think.
There won't be any minutes.
We just got sent them, I think. I just got a notice that there's something posted on our list, but no one's had time to look at them.
Yeah, we won't have time to review them. So why not take those 10 minutes?
Is there an objection?
I second that motion. No, I know you don't have to committee. I'm sorry.
Is there any objection to that?
No.
Okay. Hearing none, that'll be included. Anything else on the agenda?
Chair, I move that we approve the agenda.
I
have a comment. This is Jane.
Go ahead, Jane.
I have been thinking of the Pacifica Radio Archives budget as being closely related to the National Office budget, and I wonder if it might make more sense for us to discuss those back-to-back. Does that make any sense?
Yep.
Yeah,
you want to swap 4 and 5?
I would.
I thought about that, too, and it was a coin flip for me. So is there any objection to placing item 5, switching items 4 and 5?
No, good point.
Okay. All right, so then is there any further amendments to the agenda? Are there any further amendments?
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the agenda.
Okay. Is there any
as amended?
And is there any objection to adopting the agenda as amended? Okay. And then the next item, I'm sorry, I have to clarify. We said that we were going to put it after approval of minutes, the Lonnie's motion. Is that correct?
Yeah, we don't have minutes to approve it.
Right. So, okay, fine. So then the next item is approval of minutes. Since we haven't had time to review the prior minutes, I would recommend tabling until our next meeting, the approval of minutes. Is there such a motion? Does anyone want to move to table?
Move to table.
Okay, until our next meeting. And is there any discussion? Any objection? Okay, so the approval of minutes are tabled until the next meeting. Next thing, Lonnie, you have a motion on construction of agendas.
Yeah, I move that. The agenda, I'm talking slowly, Janie, to try to help out here, of the Finance Committee be submitted for approval at least 5 working days before a scheduled meeting, and that all such agendas be approved by the members prior to their submission to the committee as a whole.
Is Patty?
Just as a point of order, Lonnie, Robert specifies that the chair constructs the agenda and that the body votes on the agenda and no agenda is approved until the body has approved it. So could you clarify what effect your motion has or would
we haven't been doing that.
Say that then your
I'm
motion,
I'm saying that we do
Lonnie, your motion
I'm point of order? Point of order?
Can
I read it?
Yeah, I'd like Jane to read it, and then we'll have a point of order.
Lonnie moves that the agenda of the Finance Committee be submitted to the committee for approval at least 5 working days before a meeting, and that all agendas be approved by the committee?
Yes.
Is that what
you... It has to be an approval process for the agenda.
But the agenda is approved at the meeting at which it's adopted. That's standard.
No, we're talking
Patty has a point of order.
Well, no, I'm clarifying my motion.
Okay,
we're
Patty,
talking about proposed items for an agenda.
Okay, Patty, your point of order?
Point of order is that we have open meetings and there can be no agreements or discussions or decisions made on closed lists. We have to, propose the agenda. I mean, you know, you could say, okay, you should post it 5 days ahead of time, but there can be no decisions made in a closed session, which would be in a list. We have to do this deliberation in public.
Mr. Chair, Mark, I'd like to go on the stack.
Please, go ahead.
The argument that we need to see the agenda 1 week at least before we have to deal with it, would that be an argument on the PMB? And in fact, some of the people who are saying it's okay, I have a trail of emails from them saying, we need to have advance notice. Why wasn't this known ahead of time? We can't choose how we feel about something based on how we feel about a committee or how we feel about whatever. We have to be solid on this. We have to be straight. And what we have said in the past is that we all need time with our busy schedules to consider. And I think it is unfair. And I think it also gives undue authority to the chair to entertain motions up until 3 a.m. on the day of a meeting. I mean, agenda items. It's unfair to those of us who have to respond. It's certainly unfair to the CFO who has to respond, but it's unfair to me, too. We should make a rule and just say, if you want something on the agenda, get it into the chair a week ahead of time so we all have a chance to respond and consider. That's only fair. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be fair. Thank you.
Further discussion?
Yes,
I'd like to hear Jane and then LaVarne.
I don't have a strong opinion about this motion, but I would like to make a comment that everything that's on this agenda item, this agenda today, except for the question of the guests, which obviously did cause some consternation, everything except that we have all known about. So there's really nothing at all new on this agenda. And I think my own feeling on it is that this committee has been working pretty well. There are some things that need to be improved, but I've been pretty impressed with the organization of the agendas. It might be nice to get them out more than a day in advance, but I think that that many times things are happening, and you know, in an interim, and I don't think that it would make much difference whether it came out 4 or 5 days in advance. I think that more than a day in advance might be nice, but I don't find any particular compelling need for adopting a different policy because it seems like things are working pretty well and that the problems that we have will be ironed out with experience.
Can I get on the stack? It's Baruti.
On the stack.
Yeah, we have LaVarne, Baruti, Lonnie, and then I'd like to speak. And then I think, okay, LaVarne, Baruti,
okay,
Lonnie, and me.
It's LaVarne. I'm going out. I said my cell phone won't cut off. Okay, this is LaVarne Williams. I'm sure it's about 15:15 something. We're here on this call to talk about the budget. Spent an hour and at least 2 minutes talking about governance, trying to deny a PNB to write the list on his committee meeting, and making an ask question about a budget that he'll have to look at the board meeting. Preposterous. I would like us to proceed with the business so we can get to the discussion of budget and move forward. Time wasting is appalling, especially this time. A lot of us have a lot of stuff to do before we go to Houston. What I want us to do is to take care of business, and this delaying is a disaster, and we have not attended to the business of the budget yet. Let's move forward, please.
Baruti.
Yeah, my only concern is that if we have a hard and fast rule, I mean, sometimes it's just really not even possible. For instance, our meeting was last week on the 8th, I believe it was, and, you know, things come up, and to have a 7-day requirement would have closed the window out really by Friday to get something on the agenda. I mean, sometimes we're meeting so frequently that a 7-day requirement is really not going to be workable. So I mean, if it's always good to have them in advance, as much in advance, as far in advance as possible. But I don't want us to pass a motion that's going to be hard and fast, and something comes up and someone says, well, you know, you didn't meet the 7-day rule, we can't consider it. So I think that I think we've been doing pretty well so far. I mean, there hasn't been any major issues except prior to today about people not knowing things in advance. So it seems as though we've been working pretty well with the sort of relaxed setting that we've had here. So I would hope that we could continue that way unless we really see that it's becoming a problem on a regular basis.
Lonnie.
Well, I feel as though I'm on a different planet than some of you folks. No major problems? We're sitting here as a finance committee with two of our major budgets not being done and not being reviewed. And we assert there's no major problem? Of course there's a major problem. We're a $16, $17 million operation. And as a finance committee, we have not done our job for whatever the reason. I'm not comfortable with that. Now, a given member can put a last-minute item on the agenda, but I, as chief financial officer, will have to go through the work of that. You folks can maybe not have to do that, but I'll have to take two budgets over this weekend. This is a Friday. And try to put those budgets into some kind of form by Monday so that this board can get an idea of where we stand as a network. So I disagree with the notion that there are no major problems. There certainly are. We have the idea of we haven't had any problems except for this issue on the guest. That, again, is not my view of how this has gone for this year. So, I mean, that's pretty basic to me. You do your basic responsibility as a finance committee. We haven't done it. Case closed, as far as I'm concerned. And I don't have any assurance that we'll get it done by Sunday.
Okay. I'm next on the stack. The point about the two budgets was fully discussed at our last meeting, and everybody on the committee was aware of both the timing of their approvals and the fact that we would be dealing with them then, and we had a prolonged discussion with you, Lonnie, with the committee, and with Ambrose about the timing. So as far as I can tell, there's no surprise in that. It was fully discussed, and the agenda I constructed reflected that. The reason for the lateness of it, I usually get it out the day before, but the reason for the lateness of it was I had to go to our LSB meeting that day and had meetings earlier, and so I didn't send it until after I got home from the LSB meeting, whereupon I did it first thing. I don't have any objection to putting this stuff together a couple of days earlier, but as Baruti said, you know, things do change or come up. The issue of a guest on the call, came up as a result of emails that I got yesterday. So I couldn't have put it forth, and I'm sorry that I didn't. It may have even been today. I forget. No, it was yesterday. And I requested that we send something to the committee. At that time, Steve didn't think he could make it ultimately, so it was mooted. And then today, he was able to rearrange his plan so that it was. I'm perfectly willing to put everything I know about in the agenda, and ultimately, any member can propose any addition to any agenda at any time. For example, the motion that we're discussing at this moment was added during the discussion process. So, in general, the way it's done is committee chairs produce agendas, and the body votes on them and amends them as they see fit. I take Mark's point about agendas for national board meetings, because the reason for the one-week advance notice there is that people can make the decision whether or not they'll attend. When we're meeting as frequently as we are, it's very difficult. I will take it as the advice of this committee to produce an agenda, pardon me, as early as possible, but when things change during the course of the week, we'll put out amended agendas, as we've done when I've put out the agenda, proposed agenda before, and asked for comment of the body, and then incorporated their changes, people's changes, as they've proposed things, so that by the time we got to the meeting, we had something as reflective of the will of the body as possible. It's still the case that the body has to approve the agenda. So I don't think that this motion makes it possible for us to do our work more effectively. I think it's more restrictive, but I take the criticism. that agenda should come out earlier than they have. And I would suggest that 2 days before a meeting would be enough to allow people to make whatever comment they need to make, since we generally know what our agenda items are.
Mr. Chair, I don't believe the motion is 2 days. The motion is seven
correct.
Days.
I understand.
The host is 5 days.
Five business days. And are okay. we ready to go to a vote on this?
Yes, please.
Can I read? I wanted to clarify one thing here, just 1 second. Was your motion, Lonnie, that where did I go? Agenda committee be submitted via email to committee members for approval at least 5 working days before a meeting, and that all agenda items be approved by the committee via email?
Yeah, my motion has 2 parts. First, I need to see what is being proposed for the agenda, so that I, as a staff person, can prepare.
Lonnie, just
okay,
tell us what
so
the
I
motion is.
Okay, so I just
want
to get clear. Agenda of...
I'm saying it has 2 parts. You just
okay,
let me
agenda
say those 2 parts.
Okay, agenda of finance committee...
The part of it and the approval part.
Okay, agenda of finance committee be submitted to committee members at least 5 working days before a meeting?
Yes.
Part one. And
yes.
that all agenda items be approved by the committee via email?
That's right.
Yeah,
okay.
I have to... the second
point of order...
Point of order.
Hold on a second. I will recognize the point of order. I may be responding to it now. The body cannot approve things via email.
No.
All our business has to be done in public session. So that piece of it is not in order.
And also, Mr. Chair, the body has the right to add agenda items whenever it wants prior to adoption.
Of course, yeah. That's
so Lonnie's motion is only that we agree that at least the preliminary agenda be presented 5 days in advance.
That's
we understand.
Not the final. But you need to have some sort of warning about what's on the agenda, not 3 a.m. in the morning.
So the motion, the first part of Lonnie's motion is in order. The second part is not in order.
Well, I would tell the second part I want to move the business.
Okay, good.
All right, I call the question on Lonnie's motion then, the first part that has been ruled in order.
Okay.
Point of information, LaVarn, please.
Mr. Chair,
may we just table this discussion of governance and agendas to another time so we can get to the budget? Again, it's like 4:20.
Okay, a motion to
table. I already called the motion prior to the motion to table.
Well, the motion to table is in order once the question's been called, I believe. Does anybody know for sure?
I don't know for sure.
You called. You can't interrupt the roll call.
First of all, the
call of a question is a vote to close debate. Not,
yes.
And so I, and as I understand it, in committee you actually can't close debate.
Right.
But while people still want to conduct debate, but let's just deal with this.
All right. You're right.
Simpatico. Let us go, LaVarn. We've had all the discussion. I think we're ready to have a vote. Tabling it will just mean reinvigorating the discussion.
Yeah,
are you willing to withdraw the motion to table? If not, we'll vote on the motion to table. It's up to you.
Why don't we just vote? It's going to be defeated. Let's just
LaVarn?
Vote.
Ms. Messy, we can just go ahead with the motion. And plus, Mr. Chair, would you control this meeting so that people are not constantly popping up saying things? You know, they have great things to say, but I would like a little order in this. Thank you.
I will do my best. Jane, can you call the roll on the and reread the question, the first part, and call the roll?
Lonnie Hicks proposed a preliminary agenda for Finance Committee be submitted to committee members at least 5 working days before a meeting.
Okay. Will you call the roll?
Bediako?
No.
Adelson?
I shouldn't vote.
Gatewood, no. Williams?
No.
Hicks?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes, of course.
Tattersall?
Yes.
Heffley?
No.
Allen? Allen is off. We have 3 yeses and 4 noes.
Okay, so the motion doesn't succeed. The next item on the agenda is the national review of the national office budget. And I think, hold on a second, let me get back over there, including allocations for affiliates program, web development, programming, staffing, et cetera. Lonnie, would you like to spend 5 minutes introducing the budget, and then we will go to committee questions?
You mean the national office budget?
Yes. We touched on it last week.
We spent 2 hours. I said so right on the call. So it wasn't touched upon.
Point of information?
Yeah, well, I'm in the middle of a presentation.
I know. What date was this mail? Can you just tell me so I get the right budget?
Date was it mailed? You want me to look it up for you, Pat?
Yes, please.
Let's see.
Was it today?
No.
I see one on 9/9.
Yeah. Oh, it's been out a while.
So 9/9 was last Friday.
Thank you very much.
Of course, I sent it out with an email the 6th I sent the initial budget out. It was my birthday. I remember well. But anyway.
Yeah, I have that on the, there was one on the 6th and another sent on the 9th.
Yeah, that's right.
Happy belated birthday, Lonnie.
Yeah, thank you very much. Now, by way of introduction, is that what we're doing now?
Yeah, I mean, whatever you think we need to deal with that we haven't dealt with already.
Well, you know, I feel I went through, and I understand that some committee members disagree, but this stuff is on tape. I went through this national budget for an hour and a half, 2 hours. And I think what I'll do, if it's okay with this group, is summarize, as I did before, the main points in the budget and go to questions, if that's okay.
Please do.
Well, this budget is an austerity budget, in as much as, A, we don't have all of the budget done. So fashioning a national budget, as all of you know, is difficult. I outlined on that last call all the things that were not in that budget and that were challenges in terms of doing a national office budget. There are at least 8 items I went through, everything from free speech radio news to issues around how to budget for bylaws. I won't go over them again. There were 8 or 9 items that it was not possible to budget for. I went over staffing at the national office, identifying that we had increased the salaries by $137,000 or so, and that was due primarily to adding on an HR person and also some expenses surrounding the executive director and a couple of other items. Staffing, though, is basically the same. We did add a national programming coordinator to the budget, and that seemed really wise to do. I want to propose to the PNB that they approve that position, which has been stalled and has not been active. Well, I don't know how many years, maybe you folks know. Maybe it was never activated. But Ambrose and I agree that it's time to have a program director, a program coordinator, who can start to deal with a myriad of issues that relate to programming at this network. I think I went over all of the permutations of what a programming coordinator could do for the network. There is a job description. I think Dan Coughlin presented one last year. I do have it. I can send it along to committee members now if they want to look it over in preparation for the Sunday meeting. And I gave my own view of what real challenges face this network in terms of programming. I went over everything from loans, copyright issues, issues around content, issues around goals for Pacifica's programming, issues around the mission of programming at Pacifica as they relate to the stated mission of Pacifica. You need someone who's focused on those issues as a programming coordinator would be. So that's why it's in the budget. We went over in the last budget, there were questions around former administrative director, salary, went over a number of issues in this budget. There was one thing as I listened to the tape that I think I need to state for the record. And as I had heard between the lines, and I'm willing to be corrected, that the Finance Committee sees itself as the monitor of the national budget. I take issue with that notion. Of course, the Finance Committee looks at the national budget as well as any other budget. That's true. And we didn't get to the station budgets, which need to be looked at, and I will do that. I'm prepared to do that on this meeting. But the notion I'm working with is that a CFO, which is hired by the board, if you read the bylaws, you'll find that to be the case, speaks to the interests of the network and looks at all of the issues that face the network. Stations tend to look at it from a station point of view or from the point of view of their particular group. This board and the bylaws and, in fact, hire two officers to look at the network as a whole and be able to speak to the PNB around balancing off all of the legitimate competing interests. So that what I'm doing on this call is not reporting to the Finance Committee. What I'm trying to do is make the Finance Committee aware of what I know about network-wide issues, which members of the Finance Committee do not have that information. That's why it's compiled. So that if the Finance Committee, in being a subcommittee of the board and not a subcommittee of stations, will be able to go to that board meeting and know the challenges that face this network as a whole, not just the challenges that face stations. And so someone has to do that. It's my job to do it. And I can get about 5 minutes to speak about network issues at the last call. We went right on into the National Office budget. Well, that's great. But it is, I think I made some summary points, which I'll repeat, and then I'll just shut up here. We'll go to questions. And that last budget, if you look at it, the network issues that this committee needs to look at, as well as station issues in the National Office budget, is a large number of items. Where will we find $400,000 for free speech radio news? I won't go into the litany. You all know that litany. Where will we find money for capital, blah, blah, blah? Yes. So the last point is that when I looked at the budget, we had a surplus budgeted, as you can look at your numbers, somewhere around $870,000. We need at least $1.4 million. We have half, a little more than half, of what the auditor and I believe we need to have in terms of working capital. For each station needs to have something close to that 1 month. We have two stations, at least, which do not have the 1 month, and three, which will require waivers from this committee, and we're going to get to that on Sunday. But that's serious. It's serious because that kind of problem will not go away, even though it might be postponed for 6 months or 8 months. And I'll close on my usual cautionary tale as far as budgeting is concerned. Is that any station, including K, including I, including A, you have one bad drive, 100,000 to 200,000, and the entire network is impacted. So the budgets are important, crucial, and I'm really disappointed that we have not done our job on the Finance Committee and having given these budgets the scrutiny that they need. And when are we going to do that? Sunday we will meet, and then we will spend 4 or 5 hours looking over budgets. And then on Monday, for a board meeting that will take place on Friday, has to be sent out to these board members. And they'll be traveling, some of them, on Wednesday, Thursday. When is that careful scrutiny going to take place on either body, the board or finance? So it's a disappointment to me.
Chair Mark, on the set, I'm sorry, I thought you were down, sir.
No, I don't think that we have, I'll just stop at this point and take some questions. These are big issues. People are depending on us. And we have much that's positive, don't get me wrong. We did some wonderful stuff around the Roberts hearings and Katrina.